listened to every single podcast on oneofus.net. What do I do now?
Well, first of all, how is that even possible? But secondly, I think I have a solution for you, Chris.
There can be no solution, Brian.
There is a solution, and that solution is our newest sponsor, Audible.com. Guys, if you haven't tried Audible.com, now is the perfect time to do that. We're talking about content that includes over 150,000 audio programs. We're talking about books on digital, audio dramas, broadcasters, magazine and newspaper publishers, all the greatest stuff you can possibly imagine in one place just for you.
Okay, that actually does sound pretty good.
Doesn't that sound great? And you know what? I'm going to make it sound even greater, Chris, because they are officially, Audible is officially one of our sponsors here at oneofus.net, and as a special gift to you guys, Audible is giving away a free audiobook. All you have to do is click on the link at the bottom of this page, or you can go to audibletrial.com/oneofus.
You mean to say that by clicking on audible.com and downloading their free book, they make sure by listening to that audio that we keep making more audio as well?
That's right, and the cycle continues.
Musical venues again, back in Aviary tonight. No, I was gonna say sweating our balls off in Mark or Kevin's garage, but it's not. It's kind
it's
of a nice,
reasonably
night.
Pleasant at the moment.
No, it's nice out, and we did. We kind of lucked into it. Thanks again to if you're Marco from Aviary, if you are listening.
Does he listen to these?
He knows about them. I mean, the cops aren't here yet, so that's good. But we're camped out at Aviary another night on they're not typically open on Mondays, and sometimes we lay these down on Mondays. And so anyway, thanks to Marco and Aviary for letting us do our thing.
So everybody, it's Somebody Likes It. It's the show with a concept that's easy to understand, but for some reason remarkably hard for me to explain to people.
No, we just pick a record that none of us know very well, go listen to it, and then talk about it.
Right. Well, see, that sounds really easy on paper, but
and
when
somebody
I'm trying,
likes it, just we don't know it.
It's easy for me to explain that to myself, but for some reason I just talk in circles trying to explain it to other people. I don't know.
It'll
why.
Get easier. You just, right. You're working on your pitch.
Thank you. Yeah, I have been. That's you know, I should write it out. There I should have a script. I
the
should actually
elevator
keep a script
pitch.
In my back pocket,
yes.
And that way I can reference it. Like, yeah. So you do a podcast? What is it? And then I'll have like shit that's prepared.
All
so
right.
Speaking of said podcast, we've got a guest tonight.
We do have a special guest. I'm super excited. JT Habersad is
hey.
Here.
How are you guys?
JT, thanks for joining us.
Of course.
We
thanks
are
for
all
having me.
Living the dream.
It's like Ryan, really sure Ryan's dream
what
involves
dream?
Yoo-hoo
and Jerky.
Yeah, yeah, it looks like when you say somebody hasn't called the cops yet, I'm like, what would... If they broke in here, it just look like a bunch of guys trying to have D&D without any of the modules or dice.
Exactly, yeah.
We have like beef jerky and Canada Dry and no...
I forgot my 20-sided dice.
It's straight up like game night without the game. It's the weirdest...
Ryan's always got a weird drink bingo going on in here. Like, we don't ever know exactly what he's going to show up with. We just know that if you mix
hey,
it
man,
together...
You're not living if you're not having Yoo-Hoo and off-brand... spiced rum.
You made me scratch my head
with
the Yoo-Hoo.
Canada Dry ginger ale.
Where are we going?
Yeah. So yeah. You're filling somebody's quota. That's for sure.
my own.
But we've got. I invited JT to sit in with us tonight because we're going to cover a comedy record, and only the second one that we've done. So I'm
excited
JT, about
that. You know something about comedy? I assume.
I try.
Well, we'll get into a lot of that after the break, but.
Yeah, let's get on the other side of the show. So for now,
let's
I'm Shane.
It. I'm Ryan.
I'm Kevin.
Hey, this is JT.
This is Somebody Likes It.
So Yoo-Hoo and Spiced Rum, that is Admiral Nelson's?
It is Admiral Nelson's.
Nice. See, I didn't know they had that.
There's even a knockoff of that, and it's a lady.
Yeah, it's got to be. Okay, because my buddy Tim Sutton, we went camping in upstate New York, and we were drinking Admiral Nelson's by, like, the bucket. And we figured out the empirical formula. You move a couple letters of the alphabet, and you denounce and rank. So Captain Morgan becomes Admiral Nelson. Like,
well,
you move
I think
the
Admiral,
M to the N.
Admiral outranks Captain.
Does it?
Yeah.
All right, so
I
you get a higher
like,
ranking.
Like a general in the Navy.
Yeah, I know. No, you get a higher ranking because you want people to think that it's better stuff, even though it costs less money.
I do actually think it tastes better. It's got like a vanilla thing going on.
It does have a vanilla
so
thing
here's
going
a, here's
on.
So here's the deal. I went by my local liquor purveyor the other day, and They had it on for half off for a 1.75 liter. It was like $12.
Yes.
With tax.
Yes.
I love how like a purveyor is generally someone that, that provides copious amounts of a product.
Well, they did.
To you. Like, to most people, it's just a liquor store, but to you, it's a purveyor.
So the high end would be like Private Owens. secret stash. Yeah,
it just goes down in quality to lower the rent.
It would be just like rejected on the basis of Flat Feet Sam's.
One bar.
Just a bottle of kitchen vanilla in a used syrup container.
Some guy with a big stick.
Who's right. All right.
All right.
Kevin. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what we have going on and who we
and
have?
Well, we've got JT here.
Yeah, so we lured JT in to tell stories, but
in a van,
exactly.
Promise of beer and
and like a game night with no game
sketchiness,
right?
Yeah, so pirate but rum. But I've been super excited to talk to you. Not for one of the reasons is the record that we're covering tonight, which is Kyle Kinane's Whiskey Icarus.
Yes.
And the other is you just got back from Mexico.
Indeed, yeah.
What were you doing down there?
I was out there for the Acamul Comedy Festival, which is a really rad comedy festival that is put on by Stand Up Records, which is a label I'm signed to out of Minneapolis. And last year I went down and did it as a full performer for the whole thing, and this year they asked me to come back and host their Best of the Festival closing ceremonies and help a little bit with the production end of things too. And it's basically cool. A benefit for the Red Cross down there.
Oh, that's cool.
The Red Cross in Mexico gets no government funding, like $0. And so basically in the last 3 or 4 years of the festival happening, they've bought like 2 ambulances, full-time staff, like saved all these people from drowning. And
oh, wow.
Put in a huge addition to their Red Cross, you know, barracks down there. And so it's pretty crazy, but I'm making it sound like it's a lot of work. It's paradise.
I mean, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, do they draw? Like, is it a, like,
well,
I know
it's an interesting, like, Acamul is south.
I mean, you're not doing comedy in Spanish, right?
No, but they have a part of that. They have like 3 or 4 Spanish shows, which I didn't attend because I don't speak the language.
It'd be cool if you had like a translator, like just on the mic. Like,
I've seen that actually.
I do know one thing to make a Spanish-speaking dishwasher crack up, which is Yo Soy El Diablo Borracho. And every single time they'll crack up, it just means I am the drunk devil.
You just need to walk around Mexico and just tell people.
Drunk devil.
Can I ask you one question? So speaking
yeah.
of, so obviously, I really want to hear the rest of this, but you know how the cartels in Mexico could really revitalize their image?
They could do a Pablo Escobar kind of thing where he kind of gave back in addition to being a
with
giant prick.
I'm saying if they wanted to rehabilitate their image, because let's admit it, it's a little tarnished. If they if they wanted to rehabilitate their image,
just got a skosh of a nick to their image.
Well,
I mean, kinder,
what with the murders and all.
Yeah. Look, I'm just speaking truth here.
Yeah.
And they could start donating to
right.
St. Jude's Hospital.
Red yeah. Cross.
Red Cross.
I mean, the thing, like, before I had gone down there, before I had ever traveled to Acamul, you know, you hear, you want to come down to Mexico and do comedy? I said, not really. You know, because I've been through Laredo and, you know, El Paso and places that are close enough where,
yeah.
I mean, I was in El Paso on tour with Mishka Shubali and Jay Whitecotton a few months ago. And we're outside the venue, and Jay Whitecotton was hanging out there, and a kid rolled up on his bike and just showed us his gun. It's just like, okay. I mean, it was, you know, I missed most of it. Jay didn't want to tell me because he knew that I'd flip out. But Acamul is like an hour south of Cancun, and it's very safe. It's like
a resort town, I guess.
It's not like Cancun is very resorty. I spent 3 days there at the end. But Acamul is very... It's just kind of paradise, man. It's like everybody's friendly. You know, my wife came with me on this trip, and she went out jogging on the beach every morning, and I was fine with it. You know, it was just like, you know, it's really just laid back and a lot of retirees. You know, it's that type of a vibe. So
nice.
There was zero sketchiness, you know, and
yeah.
I'm coming from New York, so my sketchy, even having been in,
meter is
yeah,
well tuned.
I have to turn it back on whenever I leave Austin because I get real relaxed here. And then I go into another city. You know, I'm suddenly in Mobile, Alabama, walking at night, carrying gear. And I said,
"Yeah, see, that shit's a lot sketchier to me than New York City."
Oh, it's sure.
At some point, I do want to hear a little bit about the experience that you've had. Sure. You work with Kyle.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Kyle and I hit it off. It's interesting because comics are working comics are largely lone wolves. Is how we kind of describe sure. it, you know. And but there's certain comics that I
seem to be little cliques.
There are. I avoid them. There are definitely little cliques, city specific cliques a lot of the time. But comics in general, it's like a fraternal working bond.
Well,
but
you,
not, you don't
cross paths every now and then. But
yeah, but there's like a respect thing. But there's certain comics that I've met that I just immediately felt a kinship with, and Kyle's one of them. Like we hit it off immediately. Just kind of, I went to see him perform at the Mohawk in Austin here, and this is way years ago. This is probably 5 or 6 years ago. And really dug his stuff. And I didn't talk to him until about 3 years ago when he was at Cap City. And we just immediately...
Well, this record came out when, like, 4 or 5 years ago?
2012, maybe?
Yeah, about,
like,
yeah. It was about 2012, yeah.
And he's got a new one out. But the reason I picked this album was that it's been off and on in rotation on the Comedy Channel on
I figured
satellite
that was
radio.
Right. Yeah.
And I just... And some of the bits were, like, I think he's got a... His... The funny thing is like there's this juxtaposition between the like how bright he obviously is and how it like and how he intentionally flips the switch between like sort of highbrow insight and lowbrow like outcome.
Yeah.
And I just think like that juxtaposition is fucking funny.
Well, that's what Carlin did. I mean, you know, sure. Everybody remembers George Carlin for the, you know, the seven things words you can't say on TV and all, you know, all that stuff. And you know, that's a huge part of what he is, but you watch Carlin specials, there's always like 15 minutes to just goofy jokes.
I think Kyle Kinane is the voice of Comedy Central, which now that I've heard this record, I can't not hear him.
Yeah.
But I'd never noticed. Like,
oh, I've never noticed that either. And I had listened to I'm very familiar with this comedy. I think he's one of the funniest comedians working today.
Any of the stuff, the bumpers between shows and stuff,
that, but
it's Kyle Kinane.
I had no idea.
It's weird because I've worked with Henry Rollins before, too, and he does so much voiceover stuff that now when I hear like a Ford truck commercial, I'll be like, that's Rollins.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like instant, like dog ears. You know?
The first time I heard Kyle Kinane, and you're going to hate me saying this probably, but the first time I heard him, I was like laughing my ass off, mm-hmm. and I was like, when did Doug Stanhope get funny? Like, when
he's funny.
Doug will find that.
Yeah.
Doug's like my Yoda. He'll find that fucking hilarious. I will call him after this. And he will. He'll find that hilarious.
Wait, what'd you say? He's funny-ish.
He's got his moments,
dude. I used to work at a club here in town, and he actually is really funny live. He did two shows. And in between shows, he went in the green room, and I was back there. And some lady's like, "Do you want to do some coke?" And he's like, "Yes." And then that happened. And then he went back up on stage and told the whole story about what
you saw. Stanhope do two shows in one night.
Yeah.
When was that? Would be the Velveeta Room or something?
No. It was at Antone's, and it was sold out. Like
he did two shows in one night.
Yeah. With like, definitely.
Jesus,
because
that
there.
That's a long time ago. Because he does not
early
do
on
this
podcast.
Is in like, this is probably in 08, 09.
All right.
Kevin early on in this podcast brought up something that I thought was a pretty salient point, which was that like people who become kind of prominent artists tend to like do and say things in public that most of us wouldn't do. And Doug Stanhope's a really good example of that.
Well, it's interesting.
And actually Kyle Kinane kind of too.
Well, they're both very not center of attention guys though, which is, you know,
that's true.
Because those are the two guys
tell
that
you
I
everything.
Well, they will, but they're also not like neither one of them are the type that are going to go up to you and be like, "Hey, here's your problem." You know what I mean? They're not that. If you ask them something, there's going to be no filter. They're going to tell you the truth, which any good comic
will. And
they'll
say it in front of hundreds of people.
Yeah, because that's our fucking job.
That's
what we do for a living.
I've met Kyle. I've only met him once. I had met Jonah Ray, and I was hanging out with him for an afternoon. And this is South by Southwest a few years ago. And I met Kyle through him, and he was just a sweet person, like really quiet.
Well, he is. Yeah, he's great. He's a really good dude.
Well, that's the impression I get, but his sort of exterior is really grizzled.
Yeah, but that's just stage armor. I mean, like, people often are, if they don't know me as doing comedy, they're often like, "Man, you're really quiet and reserved off stage." You know, because I approach it like an Iggy Pop Ramones thing, where once I'm on stage, I become the ranty fucking guy.
You throw it all out.
But after, I don't want to be, I'm pretty, not reserved, but just kind of keep to myself off stage. So it's, I don't know, to me that's not that... maybe it's too much inside baseball that I kind of know these guys. That, you know, that's not surprising to me that they come off as very.
But well, it would be hard to carry that off all the time. Like,
yeah, but comics do it. There's certain ones that are always on, and it's fucking exhausting to be around.
I can only imagine. Like,
yeah, that's exhausting.
Yeah, you need an off switch.
Ugh.
Yeah.
But yes,
that's talking about a craving for attention, like in a whole other way. But since we've sitting here and talking about Kyle Kinane and his stand up and his voice, and I think this is a perfect time to segue
into a clip.
Yeah,
to a clip. Let's let everybody hear some of his stuff.
I think Kyle takes a really interesting tack with regard to airline humor, and they're frankly some of the funniest bits on this album. So why don't we take a clip from the unrelated Flaming Youth. And unrelated title, Flaming Youth,
right.
and see where that goes. We'll come back on the other side.
I get up, I address the people sitting across the aisle from me who I've never spoken to before, but now it's like we're old bar buddies. How we doing, Jimmy? We need a topper. Todd, you good on that? They're asleep. They don't even know. I bumper bowl myself back to the bar. It's just the emergency exit in a cupboard. And I find my flight attendant. I ask for two more drinks. And she obliges initially. And she goes in there and she's tinkering around. But for some reason, she came back out of the drink, but she had this change of heart from that moment to here. Because she came like just then she realized I pulled an aha video down the whole aisle, just slamming into stuff. Because she brings the drinks out, but she's not presenting them to me. She's got them locked back here. And she looks at me with this look of concern, and she leans in and, like, does that whisper, like she doesn't want to embarrass me by what she's about to say, and she just says, "Are you driving?" And I know she meant eventually. But when the world gives you a little gift like that, you don't let it go to waste. So I put my hands around her hands on the drinks, and then I leaned in even closer, and I was like, "I hope not." "I think we might be on an airplane." As a little one of these, like, who's joking around with who? Huh? Yeah. And then I got him, and I was like, "Yeah, wink, point, keep it cool, hot stuff," whatever I said.
It's fair to say that that Kyle has a pretty unique take on air travel, or at least the idea of, like, how you purchase air travel and then what the shit happens once you get in the air.
He's like a straight David Sedaris. Like, he tells these stories that are, like, amazing in the way that he frames them, and he probably embellishes little bit.
I million fucking years never, ever, ever would have thought of that connection, but as soon as you said it, like, the synapses clicked in my brain. I'm like, oh, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, like, oh, my God, these things have probably, like, all these ridiculous stories have happened to me. I'm just not that funny.
But he talks plenty about air travel, but beyond that, like, I think he has a little bit of fun exploring other territory, terra firma. What did you, have a favorite bit?
A lot. I love the whole record. A lot of it, especially in the beginning, and it's interspersed, and in the earlier stuff that he did, the record before this, he touches on a lot of this too. But it's sort of like a lot of it is observational comedy for, like, people like Bill Davis, an old roommate of mine who would get up at or stay up all night and get a paper at 7 o'clock in the morning and buy a 12-pack of beer whenever the store is opened at 12.
Oh, he'd read like the New York Times.
He would read the New York Times and drink Pabst Blue or Natural Light Ice, having stayed up all night long. This is 7 days a week, and would go as soon as they started selling beer, and only ate, like, egg rolls and frozen pizza.
That's super weird you say that, because when I asked Kyle, I said, like, who is your muse? And he said Bill Davis, which is really weird.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it makes complete sense.
That would actually make a ton of sense.
It actually is Bill Davis. If you knew this guy, he's got an incredibly raspy voice.
He's an Americana artist.
Pearl Snap shirt.
Oh, well, there you go. Yep.
Like, he's living the life a little bit.
No, that would make sense. You know what? They should do, like,
Bill Davis, whom we met while having contentious trivia matches.
That's true, and he bought us pictures of beer.
Sounds serious.
Yeah, it was. Okay, anyway, so yeah, it's observational humor for people that are not of the Tony set, as it were.
The toughest thing in the world is trying to describe the type of comedy you do. Like,
sure.
People ask, you know, like, what? So what kind of comedy? I'm like, oh, God, yeah.
And then you immediately feel pigeonholed, I'm sure.
Well, like, it's just hard. I always put it in the context of, like, all right, if this comic and this comic were together, it'd be kind of like that.
Because that's the only other way to do it.
That's what bands do, right? Yeah.
And it's well, so
and if you're unique enough, like, it's going to be hard, and it should be.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, absolutely. It should be.
Red, like, how would you ever, like, explain, like, the kind of comedy? I mean, there are just very unique guys out there.
Yeah, well, if you sound just like somebody else, you're doing it wrong.
Right. Yeah, it's true.
Or you're doing somebody else's material.
Anyway.
Yeah, so, again, now this is totally one of those deals, too, where, again, because the tracks don't marry up to the content,
you have to go
it's
look
like,
at the...
I was like, what's Beth about? Anyway.
It's about a Kiss song.
The worst Kiss song, by the way.
Oh, they're all bad. What are you talking about?
No, but that one's especially bad. I'm going to pick it one of these days.
The ballad?
Yo, yeah.
It's no Dr. Love or whatever.
Did you guys
not,
ever see Kiss versus the Phantom of the Park?
Ugh.
That's the movie we should watch when we do our thing. And not Break-In, too, Phantom of the Park.
All right, so I'm gonna pick one of these that I know is not an airplane bit because we just did that. And let's...
comedy hell.
We are not cliche.
You should just do airplane bits and everybody will think like that's what
and
the whole
so,
record is
and
about.
And so instead we're going to talk about
with Kyle.
Yeah, let's say let's pick off a little bit of the opening montage of Detroit Rock City.
That's a great. I was going to suggest that one. Yeah, that's good stuff.
Let's get in there.
Let's do that.
I know you got a lot of choices what to do with your free time. Thanks for coming to see Uncle Barbecue tell us dum dum stories for a little while. Just going to spin a couple yarns and we'll all get on to our fun, carefree lifestyles. I think a lot of comedy comes from shared experiences, things that we can relate to. Keeping that in mind, anybody else in here get so drunk last month you had to call a cab just to take you to Wendy's? Couple, all right, maybe. Couple, right there. Yeah. Get to that special point in your mid-30s where you realize that drinking responsibly and crying for help just kind of turned into the same thing. Real successful Saturday night home alone. I want those spicy nuggets. You're too drunk to drive. We'll call a cab because you deserve them. I'm doing the right thing. How come it still feels sad?
Not this Fun Fest. The year before, Kyle and I were working together at Fun Fest, and he got in the night before we were both performing. And so we met up and went to dinner. We went to Chewy's, which is one of my favorite Tex-Mex joints. And we're down there having dinner. And we're talking about just cuisine. You know, we're both kind of food nerds. And he was like, I heard a lot about this place, Frank, the hot dog place. And he's from Chicago. So I knew. He's like, how does it measure up? And I'm originally from New York, so we have the dirty water dogs there.
Right
and,
on.
You know, he's got the Chicago dogs with the pickles on them and that whole nine.
Day-glo relish.
The day-glo relish, right. Yeah, the mustard relish or whatever weird... aberration that is. And we were talking about hot dogs. I was like, yeah, you know, Frank's pretty good, man, but you know, it's kind of pricey. It's like $7 or $8 for like a hot dog or whatever. And he goes, dude, I have fucking hot dog money. I was like, I'm going to tweet that quote out until I or you die, because that is the funny. I have hot dog money. Kyle Kinane.
He's got like a special account.
Oh man,
hot dog money.
That just cracked me up.
It's only like for pizza, late night shit. Like you keep a certain account.
I love that. That's like the level of success for comics. Like, dude, I can buy a hot dog.
It's hot dog money. I love that you mentioned Frank because not only
we know those owners, both of them.
Oh, right on. Consider this a plug.
But beyond that,
not a big deal. But
beyond that, this is what I thought was really interesting. Uh-huh. Maria Bamford tweeted that this past week, I guess during Moon Tower, they changed the name of a bunch of their products. And she tweeted at Patton Oswalt and said, hey, they've got a failure bowl here. They were, and that's pretty much what it was.
Right on.
It was like beanie weenies and cheese and probably too much gravy and whatever. Yeah.
So that was pretty funny. And then, Kyle and I did punk rock bowling in Vegas together last year with Joe Sib and Jay White Cotton.
Can you
expound
on...
On what
punk rock bowling is?
Sure. It's a big festival. It's been going on about 12 years now. It's promoted by the Stern Brothers from Youth Brigade. If you ever saw Another State of Mind, that documentary from back in the day.
Producer Mark is nodding.
Mark is nodding.
Yeah.
Like the rest of us are.
Mark, I'm familiar, but do you want to say something about that? Do you want a mic for a second?
You want my mic?
I thought you'd... Okay.
Another State of Mind is like a seminal on the road kind of, you know, the Youth Brigade guys got a school bus and went across country and teamed up with like Social Distortion and Minor Threat and all these bands.
Oh, right on.
And the two brothers, the primary brothers, are Mark and Sean Stern. And they run this thing, Punk Rock Bowling. It started about 12 years ago as just like a bands would get together and labels and stuff, and they'd bowl against each other in Vegas and some, play some shows. And it's turned into a 3-day, 5,000 to 8,000 person per day festival and night shows. And
oh wow,
still involves big, bowling.
Yeah, there's bowling during the day. It's more music festival than anything else now. And Joe Sib and I, in the like 5 years ago, Joe Sib runs Side One Dummy Records, and he does stand-up comedy. He's a buddy of mine. And he invited Joe and I down
doesn't
there.
Doesn't he like host a punk rock show?
He has a radio show, too, called Complete Control.
Yeah.
And they brought Joe and I down to do comedy, you know, to try it with the bands and stuff. And it was it's a hard thing to do when you're the lone comic with a ton of bands and people are drunk and you're in Vegas.
I'm sure.
And the PAs aren't great. Like, the sound was an issue. So it wasn't really working, but they really still wanted to do it. So about 3 years ago, Joe and I kind of took the reins and put it in a casino in the Golden Nugget as a comedy thing with, like, Mike Wiebe from the Riverboat Gamblers and Dave Crumbum. And,
he is funny.
Yeah, they're great.
I don't know the Crumbum guy, but Mike Wiebe is a funny motherfucker.
Yeah, Mike, you know, I made him do stand-up. I made him get on stage for the first time.
Is that true?
That's true. Yeah, he's on my record with me. But I knew that Mike had the instinct to be funny, and I made him do it. I booked him on our Altercation Punk Rock Barbecue and said, you're doing a set, and that was his first stand-up set.
He's really funny, but every time that I've ever seen the Riverboat Gamblers, it looks like he might have to go to the hospital.
Oh, he's a maniac.
He climbs up on the highest thing.
Mike and the Gamblers is a very different Mike than the Mike.
Well, he's done 20 by 2. He's done the show.
Yes, okay. Yeah. He mentioned that to me, actually, yeah.
He's super funny.
Yep. But here nor there, Punk Rock Bowling has slowly evolved to last year. We took over a giant performance arena. I held like 700 people at the plaza. We kicked Louis Anderson out of his residency. Like Louis Anderson.
There's a joke to be made there.
Louis Anderson's jazzy was in the backstage area that we were riding around on, and he got the night off, and we took over his room.
His jazzy?
Yeah. Like the motorized.
Yeah, no, it was idling. Waiting
well, the
for
keys were in
stage.
It. Somebody may or may not have gotten it a ride.
It's sort of
a hover round.
It's a hover round.
Yeah.
It's a get you there scooter.
Like a weasel.
Is he that big now that he has to get
I don't know. I didn't
that?
See him there, but I saw his gold star door and his jazzy parked outside it. But anyway, it was Joe Sib and Kyle and myself and Jay Whitecott and all these guys. And we did the show, and it was awesome. And then we ran around and watched. Have you ever been to Fremont Street in Vegas? It's like in the old Rat Pack district.
Yes.
That's the best.
Like, yes, absolutely the best. It's the kind of sleazy
it's
area.
So great.
And that's where Punk Rock Bowling happens.
You know what? I once saw a man. I was in a casino near there. He was a very, very tall Asian man, by the way. And I'm 6'1", and this guy towered over me.
It's like a Carlin
He came,
bit.
And he put a $1,000 chip, $1,000 chip on one number in roulette and hit. And won $50,000.
Wow.
So got his chips and left.
I don't want to bum you out, but that was 1,000 yen.
Well,
I suspect not.
It's just funny for me. Like, that was like 50 bucks American.
I'm not doing conversion in my head. I'm
it was
like,
it was 1,000 yen chip.
I'm like, what the fuck is this dude talking about? Hey, JT, we're gonna get into the intermission. Move to the intermission.
Okay.
And, are you gonna be able to stick around for a
what
little
time
bit?
Is it? I think so.
It's
9:40. Yeah, I can hang out for a while.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Because well, we'll talk about this in a minute. But it's my night to pick, and normally this is the part where we all watch a video together. Mm-hmm. I do have a video. We'll talk about it in a minute, Mark. Let's go to the intermission.
Okay.
Oh, it's time for a few minutes with our intermission segment, and it's my turn this week. Do you guys want to know what I pick?
I would love to know.
Before I tell you?
What is it?
Okay, so this is a song by Lakeside, and Lakeside was the band that put out Fantastic Voyage, which we all know.
Ah.
That was their one big hit. And this came not too long after that. I think that was in 79.
Yeah, right after they ripped off Coolio.
That is right. Yeah. And we're just still, hey, listen, why do you
Coolio
think
was,
someone,
I,
look,
Coolio
got
was
shot.
In short pants, I believe, at the time.
Why do you think that you haven't seen Coolio putting out anything in the last 15 years.
She's mad at Weird Al.
This is, oh, it's come full circle now. Right. So this is a song that came not long after that, and it's entitled Ever Ready Man. Ever Ready Man by Lakeside. So a couple of things we learned while we were watching that along with you guys was that Ever Ready Man does refer to the batteries, Mark pointed out. Thank you, producer Mark. And he's talking about how all the energy he has. And then he says at one point, just call me 24-hour Dan. He's her Ever Ready Man.
Well, no, like whenever she's ready, like he'll show up there with an erection.
Well, I mean, that's a subtext, I guess.
He does not specifically say I'll have an erection when I show up.
No,
but like,
he does. But you know what would be really great?
You'll have a big D.
If he said it in those, if he's like, just call me anytime and I'll have a 24-hour erection when I show up. Like the way you said it.
sort of a weird weird Cialis thing where they have to sit in separate tubs for it to work.
Yeah, like, with the gauzy lighting. Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
That, you know, so one of the we watched this video. And there wasn't really a video, but sometimes there are user video, like viewer videos that they will
some
post.
People feel compelled to put a video together for a song that
it was
doesn't
an ad hoc
like a
video.
It's more like a flip book than it is a video. There's still images that are on the screen for several seconds, and they leave, and they come back.
That seems to be pretty unrelated to the song.
Well, it's all anime.
Japanese anime. Well
anime,
like,
is
anime
Japanese,
is, yeah.
Dumbass. So one of the things that
love
that,
this guy over here
that thinks yeah that's what
it's Native American anime
right yeah yes. Wait, what was that noise I just said? It's like I want to start with like how
Mark will put that in later.
Yeah, thank. Can you do that for us, Mark? That would make me very happy. So the cover of I would be remiss in my duties if I didn't tell you. Or if I didn't go back and correct my mistake, which is that this album actually did come out on the same album that Fantastic Voyage did. And it was the eponymous, well, not eponymous, but it was a Fantastic Voyage was the name of the album. But so I want to read you one thing about, okay, so on this record, they're on a pirate ship in all dressed in pirate costuming, which, by the way, interestingly enough, fits well with our whole conversation about Admiral Nelson and Captain Morgan earlier
it
tonight.
All comes full circle.
Sure.
And which we didn't know at the time.
What was the other one? Ensign?
Flat-footed.
Didn't quite get in because of flat-footedness, Sam.
Yeah. Right. So one of the things about this band, this is a highly interesting Wikipedia entry, and I will recommend it to anyone that would like to go and read about Lakeside. But here's an actual sentence from their Wikipedia entry. The band dressed in costumes on their album covers, including pirates, 1920s police officers, cowboys, Arabian Nights, and even Robin Hood.
That's a lot of tights. Jesus. Your tight budget has to
How
be.
Well, the that's a lot of records, too, for a band budget. That I've never fucking heard of.
That's more scarves than Aerosmith.
I mean, what? Right, seriously. How is that? Right. That becomes, like, your thing. Like, you know what? You know what's going to be the thing that ties all our records together? Our thing's going to be we're going to dress in different costumes on our album covers. Like, what? Who like decided that in the band meeting? Like, that's
probably not that far off from your Earth, Wind, and Fires and Parliament. And
no, it's pretty far off. 1920s police officer. I'm imagining like with the big bobby hats and like
the Hamburglar. Bottle.
No, specifically,
the Hamburglar,
the Big Mac cop.
But outrageous costumes were a thing in the 70s.
So, what did you guys think about the song "Ever Ready, Man"?
Well, I mean, I feel like he has a message. He's delivering it.
I feel like horn players must have been on strike because there's a lot of Casio fucking horns going on in that song.
Yeah, so someone should say we couldn't figure out in the beginning.
You think they could find a trumpet?
We were like, is it on yet? I think it's on. This is actually the song.
Is it video game music? And then the guys start singing and you're like, oh, wait, no, this is the actual song.
This is an actual song. Yeah.
Just call me 24-Hour Dan. Can you... You guys...
Sorry, I reckon the singer's name was Dan.
Well, it would only work if his name was Dan.
The singer's name is Mark Adam Wood, Jr.
See, but you could
never
do...
There's no 24... There's no Dan.
Wood, Jr.? If there's... Come on.
If there was a...
Well, just call me Jr. doesn't quite have the same
Wood, Jr.
Like, just call me Mark Adam Wood, Jr.
You lose the Jr. part. You go with Mr. Wood. You don't go with Wood, Jr.
Well, I mean, we're talking about erections in the song anyway.
Wood, Sr. You don't want Wood, Sr. either.
Mr. Wood, yeah, that would work.
Mr. Wood.
Look, we're
talking... Or Dr. Wood.
This song, 24-Hour Day.
Professor Wood.
Dr. Wood.
Look,
I like Professor Wood.
Professor Wood.
He studied together.
Professor Wood.
Professor Wood.
Look, the album, I mean, the song is referring to erections anyway.
Yeah.
Of which Wood is a euphemism for. So Wood Jr. is that, you know, that goes against what the song is talking about.
Shane's doing something weird with his hand right now. I don't
know
what
that
is.
I'm simulating a semi-erect penis.
It looks like his finger doesn't work. Yeah. That's all I know.
It's one finger.
You turn it upside down, you're finding the G-spot on a ghost.
Good God.
Well, thank you for this, Shane.
Anyway.
You're welcome. I've been wanting to share that with you guys for a couple weeks now.
I'll never look at still motion anime slices again.
Or the cover of their album when they're in Pirates.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
It's good stuff.
All right, should
back into the show.
Let's do it.
Yes. Hey, you were saying during the break, I stopped you. You had a story to tell, JT?
Oh, I mean, well, the Vegas thing was just pretty much we watched like one of those. They have in Fremont District an 80s cock rock band that plays, you know, two shows every Tuesday, two shows Wednesday, black on Friday.
you should be an announcer at a strip club, by the way. That's pretty good.
That was kind of my dream job for a while. I did when I was in college. I worked in radio.
That
I DJ'd.
Dream job?
Yeah,
for a while.
Oh, man.
That's
a great job. You get paid to play shit music. But coming to the main stage, Sapphire. Let's hear it for the lead. Let's show them the fives and the tens, gentlemen.
Give it up for Kevin Shy. You're like Jerry Lewis announcing strippers.
Well,
lady.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Candy sure with a K.
We've actually told, I have told a little bit of this story previous to this podcast, but I actually was got semi recruited to be an announcer.
How is that not the best corny? When we were on tour, actually, in Jay Whitecotton and I were on tour in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and it's a little sketch. But we walked into this place called Ruby's, and it was like noon, and it was a BYOB all nude strip club. And their DJ was a guy named Wild Bill who wore like a fringe leather vest. He was like 800 years old. And he played obscure shit. Like, Whitecotton and I are really music nerds. And he was playing. We're like, dude, this is like a Warren Zevon B-side. What is happening right now? And we walked in there. It was the first stop on our tour. We flew in a day early, actually, to go see Stanhope and Junior Stopka play in Connecticut. And so we had a day to just chill before our opening guy picked us up and we went to the show that night. So we stayed in the strip club for 8 hours. We walked in with all our suitcases.
Wait.
8 hours.
How long?
8 hours. We spent $50. We went through an entire bottle of whiskey. We got to know all the strippers on a first-name basis. And we walked in, and they thought we were door-to-door salesmen because we had all our suitcases with merch. And they're like, what's in the suitcase? And they made us open our bags. We're like, we're comics. And as soon as the strippers found out you're comedians, they're like, oh, it was favorable treatment as far as like...
Wait, you spent $50 over 8 hours?
Yeah, it's amazing.
BYOB,
do the math
dude.
On that. We brought a bottle of whiskey, drank the entire bottle. We stayed there for... from noon until 8 p.m.
Wait. So that means you spent $50 on lap dances.
No. No, I think we got $50 in singles,
dude,
and we just tipped.
$50 is like 20 minutes
drank
a titty bar.
Not at this one. And I interviewed the DJ, Wild Bill, who's also a spoken word artist.
And 800 years old,
of course he
apparently.
Is.
And a logger. And,
of course he is.
Yeah, he's on my – you hear him on my theroadpodcast.com in this Odd Jobs podcast I did about, I don't know, 6 months ago. So, yeah, look that up. Ruby's 2, I believe, in Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Oh, my God.
Official strip club of the Altercation Punk Comedy Tour.
Ruby's 2?
Ruby's 2, like number 2. I think there's presumably a Ruby's 1.
What was I talking about before?
I don't know. We got off on...
Well,
Cock Rock. So, yeah, so Kyle's a big metalhead Cock Rock guy, even though we both come from punk rock backgrounds. He knew all the words to all the Whitesnake songs and everything. And later that night, I went to see Off With Their Heads, who's a mutual friend of ours, Ryan Young, the singer from that. Runs a great podcast called Anxious and Angry, and we were at Off With Their Heads, and Kyle disappeared, and I got a text message an hour later. He said, "Went to Rock of Ages by myself, wasted off my ass, having the time of my life." It's like, fucking right on, dude.
That was a pretty good impression, too.
Oh, thanks. See, I didn't even pick up on that, yeah.
JT, you have not yet dropped the info on how people can find you.
Oh, sure. All that stuff. You can go to jtcomedy.com. That has all of my spiel. I just dropped 60 dates today. That takes me through November of this year. So you can get all the dates there. I run theroadpodcast.com, which is my podcast, because every comedian has to have a podcast. But mine isn't limited to comics. There's a lot of like interviews with people like the Melvins and Henry Rollins on there, if you're into that type of shit.
Right.
And standuprecords.com, of course, if you want to buy my or Kyle Kinane's back vinyl. You can get a lot of it at standuprecords.com.
Sweet.
Yeah, and I'm going to be recording a new special for Stand Up Records this summer. But yeah, this week is perfect. You got me like the sweet spot of a time right here. I'm home for the next 2 weeks.
We should probably get back into a little Kyle Kinane.
Well, we're getting out. We're getting toward it's. Why don't we just get
Let me throw one piece of trivia that I've heard, and I haven't confirmed this with Kyle yet.
Sure.
I heard, you know, The Wolfman, the classic horror movie?
Yes.
I heard that Kyle Kinane's grandfather was the stunt double for The Wolfman.
For Lon Chaney Jr.?
Is that true?
And you could see it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, beards aside.
Yeah, no,
beards and lineage aside. Yeah. I've never been able. I always want to ask him about that, and we always get hammered, and I always forget. So the next time he comes to town, I'm going to force him to answer that question. But that's what I was told.
So pink panties and Wolfman.
And have you guys. Pink panties and Wolfman. Have you guys seen The Drunk History, the last one that Kyle Kinane was on?
Oh, my God.
It's
great.
I laughed so hard that shit, tears forcefully squirted out of my eyes.
Well, Kyle can drink
squirted
also.
Out of my ass, Mark.
So he had to be really hammered.
Can I ask you one question
of course.
About this? I'm about 95% on board, but the thing that I don't totally get with Kinane.
I thought you were going to be like, with what you
no,
do.
No, not with you. No, yeah, you know, fuck comedians. Yeah. No, the thing that I don't 100% get with Kinane is the fussiness about craft beer.
I
get some of it because there's
oh,
a certain,
no, that's hitting Kevin where he lives.
There's
though.
A certain,
I know,
there's
I
a certain
know,
pretentiousness.
I'm
there
not sure
totally
I know
it.
What you mean. Likes craft beer or he's against it.
No, he's got a
craft,
he's got a,
not
he, has,
craft.
He has a bit. Yeah, he has craft, a bit about. Right. Well, yeah, actually, right, like, probably prefers the P to the FT.
Yeah.
So.
Is it just like craft beer people are snobs?
I think so. Yeah, I think that's maybe.
I don't know.
He's
we just drink whiskey.
Like,
I don't know.
Okay. Well,
I know he does drink beer. But
you know the
I
name of the record is Whiskey Icarus, right?
Well, I know.
Well, that's
but
true.
And I think in fairness to
Whiskey Asterix. I don't give a fuck.
I think in fairness to Kyle, that may be on material that's newer than what was on this record. But
I don't know.
I am. But let me put it this way. Maybe that's homework for me and. And something that the next time that we have you on, I can ask you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, let's go listen to another clip from Mr. Right. Kinane. We were talking about the atheism bit. And
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of course, it's not named anything like that.
It's not. Yeah, that's you know, one of the things about this record that we're all really appreciative of is that...
But also makes it a little bit harder to deal with.
Kyle's creativity extends to the fact that he called this track "Do You Love Me?"
Yeah.
So would
go
you
buy
also...
the vinyl to see all the track listings on the back of Kyle Kinane's record coming to the main stage.
There you go. Yeah. Next time we
grabbing the pole and twirling.
Next time that we have JT on the show, a little bit of dry ice. You think we should do dry ice?
What's dry? What is that?
Yeah, sure.
I thought you said dry ice. We'll do the, like you play like the end of the Fox and the Hound and see who makes it.
Excuse me while I kiss this guy.
Oh, God. And here's the end of Big Fish. Let's see.
Anybody crying yet? I don't know.
Jesus.
Anyway, I did cry at the end of Fox and Hound the first time
I saw it. Who didn't?
In the theaters.
It's fucking sad.
I just go on record to say that. Right. I'll admit it.
If you didn't, you're a monster.
I'm going to slam my head in this desk for a few times while we listen to this track.
All right.
I think I'm just going to start believing in God again. Why not? Not out of any kind of, like, repent or anything. Like, I'm not scared. I'm just bored. It's just a more fun place if you're agnostic. Like, just leave the maybe there, you know? It's just more fun. Like, why do trees grow so tall? Maybe it's God. Is that a guy following us with a knife? Maybe it's a chupacabra. You know, it's just... It's the world's a more whimsical place if you get into that. I want to believe in ghosts. Like, that's why I get maid service. I like to pretend it's a real courteous poltergeist. Spirits are real, and they made the bed. That was real nice of them. I believe in Bigfoot. I think Bigfoot's real, but I think his whole thing is that he fucks you while you're camping. And that's why the true story never came out. You're just camping, your tent opens up, and you're like, oh man, it's Bigfoot! And he's just like, shh. Nobody's gonna believe you, bro. Take off your pants. That's why Bigfoot walks like that, all laid back, just got done fucking. Yeah, there goes Bigfoot. Looks like he just got his dick wet. Yeah, Bigfoot.
Yeah, Kyle taking me on as an atheist. Those damn agnostics.
Well,
butting heads all the time.
And Patton's an atheist, too. And mm-hmm. I thought that was interesting because one of the things that you told us, and I think this was in between when we were taping, was that there was a bit that we listened to earlier, and you were like, yeah, this is where you can tell that he, like, is taking a little, like, inspiration from Patton.
Well, yeah, I was referring to it as, like, your Yoda. You know, like, a lot of, like,
because
we're, like, total peer groups. Like, I think Kinane's, like, 6 months younger than me or something like that. And so a lot of comics in that age group, I found, older comics that are well-known will sometimes take you under their wing a little bit and kind of mentor you in a sense. Not that there's a lot of, you know, fucking little league type coaching going on or anything like that, but like Patton Oswalt was one of the first people to bring out and really champion Kyle Kinane. Stanhope did that for me.
Cool.
You know, and so there's certainly times where you, I don't know, the influence kind of, you know, the homage, if you will, comes out. And I think the wordplay on that where, I don't remember what he said, Uncle Barbecue's something or
Uncle
other.
Uncle Barbecue's dum-dum stories.
Dum-dum stories. He's very similar to like a Patton Oswalt saying like a, you know, Uncle Touchy's terror basement or whatever, you know.
Right.
I was like, that's, you know, and there's totally times where people would be like, wow, you just channeled Stanhope for a minute when you went into that rant about AA or whatever,
so,
you know.
So, well, no, and thank you. Like, and I feel like we could easily sit here and ask you another hour's worth of questions.
Well, thanks for having me, man. I'm sorry I'm under a time thing.
No, it's all good.
Anytime
I'm
around.
This is great. We would love to have you back.
Absolutely.
But in the meantime, so this will probably break. You know, usually these break a little bit after we start. So assuming like 2 weeks down the road, like where are you going to be?
So that's whatever we are in May. I'm doing a thing called Loud Fest in Bryan, Texas, which is a weekend of bands and me. The only comedy act.
And around Texas A&M.
It's up there.
Like,
yeah,
it's really liberal. Really, it's going to be really liberal people.
Oh, super liberal.
I've been up there before and have a great time. Do the Revolution Bar up there quite a bit, but it's Venomous Maximus and Ass and Girl Band and a lot of really awesome bands.
The band's name is Ass?
ASS, all capitals. They're
fucking
great.
Badass.
Total thrash. They're fantastic. Matt, who books a lot of stuff up there, is in that band. And so I'll be doing that. I'll be doing Houston and also Victoria, Texas, where the last time I was there with Mike Wiebe from the Gamblers, a full 30-person riot broke out in the middle of our stand-up sets.
Sounds about right.
And the cops rushed in with guns drawn. That was rad. But yeah, I'll be going out in June and doing some stuff around town as well. A 2-week run with a guy, Jay Chanoin from the East Coast, is flying in, and we're doing Dallas and oh god, the Rubber Gloves up in Denton, and
that's a great room. I
fantastic.
Love
I love yeah. the gloves. We're doing Opolis up in Norman, Oklahoma, and Fayetteville, Arkansas, where I've never been, and we're doing Memphis Punk Fest 2015.
I just really like the idea that I'm doing Houston. I'm doing Dallas.
I'm the new Debbie.
I'm gonna it's do
the,
it.
That's the Dipsy Doo of the
the Dipsy Doo of the world.
Can I incorporate Dipsy Doo into my fucking everyday?
I think you should. Actually,
I don't know exactly which way. I don't know what sort of art is it? An article?
It's a rockabilly haircut.
Is what the Dipsy Doo?
That sounds about
like,
right.
It's a pomade. It's
like
our gang
around in front.
Right. Yeah. But anyway, you can just go to jtcomedy.com. It has all my 60-plus dates.
Do you need to go perform comedy right now? Is that what's happening?
Fortunately, no. Coming back from 10 days of living and breathing comedy in Mexico, like, that's hard work. It was great. But, no, this week I'm just doing business stuff, just like booking, and I have to go see some friends downtown whose bands are playing from out of town. So it's one of those said-I'd-be-there, type things.
Well, we appreciate you being out here tonight.
Thanks so much, man.
No,
come,
man,
come see us again, please.
No, thank you so much, and look forward to passing this on to Kyle.
Yeah.
We're going to get a kick out of it.
What are we listening to?
Tonight at for the current affair, we're listening to Parquet Courts, Stoned and Starving. Song, but Stoned and Starving.
It is a good song.
The video, just nothing happens, but it does exactly illustrate what the song is about.
It does. Well, we talked about this for a minute. I was like, this song isn't 5 minutes long, because I've heard the single version of it. He's like, oh yeah, it is, and there's interspersed like moments of like chaotic feedback, and he's like, can we just watch the video? The meat of the video happens toward the back end, a few minutes
into
it.
Well, and it's kind of literally the meat, because she goes to McDonald's and eats.
Well, no. She goes to McDonald's and gets a sandwich, and then she walks around for a little while, goes to McDonald's, gets a sandwich, then she walks around until she finds the perfect park bench to sit on.
Well, she's a waifish, heroin chic, just chick walking around for no good reason, and then she goes to McDonald's.
It's quite aimless.
Yes.
But you were convincing us, like, I was, like, Monk is like, does she get hit by a truck or some shit? I'm like,
no, no, nothing really happens, but she was stoned and starving, and then
she ate.
Got some food.
So I will say, I hate to follow, it's really hard to follow all the commentary thus far, but.
Oh, yeah, we're on tonight, buddy.
Yeah. So, but I will say, one thing that's kind of interesting to me is that this band is one of these bands that gets trotted out as, sort of a great New York triumph, and don't get me wrong, there are a shit ton of really amazing New York bands, and there are clearly some influences here that, you know, that feel a little. We mentioned the Modern Lovers, but
Velvet Underground.
There's clearly a Velvet Underground thing, and Modern Lovers are Massachusetts thing. But anyway, just a point I'm going to make: 3 out of 4 guys in this band are from Denton. So it's really like it's a Texas band that lives in Brooklyn, and like I think like good for them. And part of the backstory in this act is they met when some of the guys that know each other from the Little D went to this record swap thing.
Were they going to North Texas or something?
Probably, yeah. I believe so. And yeah, like they went to this record swap thing where they'd each bring records and they'd listen to the records and they, you know, that's sort of how they figured it out. And then they moved to
New
York.
A good way to start a band, actually.
It is actually a good way to start a band, I think. Like it's a pretty
REM actually kind of started that way. Like yeah. I think Peter Buck was a clerk at a record shop and Stipe would come in and buy records and they'd talk about shit and
he's like, "Hey, want to be a billionaire?" Oh, sure.
Yeah. Well, that's a very clear path to riches.
That's exactly how that went down, actually.
Yeah.
It sounds... were you a fly on the wall? I like this song.
I love this song.
It's
a
great song.
It's a super boring video. And go watch it, but, like, yeah, like, watch it once.
But you know what? I think...
it's slack.
I think maybe it gets more exciting if you smoke some pot and watch it. Like, is that...
Well, perhaps. Like, none of us here are big... weed smokers, but like, you know, like I can illustrate that by saying weed smokers rather than like,
none of us here partake
we're
in
not
marijuana.
Big time stoners,
we don't do the doobie.
Yeah. But if you want to, you know, like the way that country songs, like our country videos, like really like emulate what the song is about. This one does too.
Yes, it does. It,
literally,
stoned and
well,
starving.
I'll tell you what. Like, I will say this. I like the music in this song a lot. And one of there are two things about this song that have annoyed me in the time that I've been familiar with it. One is which this band received almost nonstop comparison, not nonstop like they happen 24 hours a day. These comparisons, but a litany of comparisons of Pavement, which I don't hear at all.
I don't get that.
Yeah, I don't hear it at all. And the other one is like Stoned and Starving, like it's just the refrain at the end of the. There's no chorus; it's just a refrain, and it just becomes very annoying to me after a while. Like that Stoned and Starving, but. Somehow watching the video and having like it go to fruition has made that slightly less annoying for me. So thanks.
So the fruition was her eating the sandwich, right?
Eating the sandwich, yeah.
Yeah, I told you. Like, hang loose.
No. That's why I wanted to come back and say that, you know, you have some apologies from me. But
I appreciate that.
It is actually still annoying. Like that, like Stoned and Starving. Stoned and Starving.
It's a really
is
compelling
stupid.
Song that oh, probably that, shouldn't
you had,
be.
You hear that alliteration there? Stoned and Starving is stupid. God damn, I'm fucking genius.
God damn right.
You
man.
Guys need to acknowledge that.
Yeah. Well,
all right.
There's a lot of acknowledgement right yeah. there.
It may be time to get the hell out of here.
This was fun, y'all. Look, it was nice to have JT here. It's also nice to get the band back together. I do want to say another round of huzzah and thank you to our friend Marco at Aviary.
Marco.
Who
if you are in Austin or South Lamar, go to Aviary and you will
oh,
not
it's
regret
a fine,
it.
Fine
yeah, they do.
Right.
They do. They usually have live entertainment on Wednesdays and Saturdays, and I think they do. Don't hold me to this, but I think they still do half price bottles on Wednesdays. So anyway, it's
wine,
a lot of fun.
Beer,
these guys are great.
And furniture.
Look, I'm sure if you show up and say, "Hey, they told me on Somebody Likes It, you do half price bottles," even if they don't.
Yeah, he'd get like Jack.
Don't
that
speak
jackass?
For Marco, but yeah. But Marco's good people, and even if he doesn't, you'll still not regret it.
Yeah,
decision.
Kevin will pay for half your bottle.
Oh, thanks, Mark.
Yeah.
Now we give you a mic.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah. Kevin,
and thanks to JT for being here.
Yeah, thanks, JT.
He promised / threatened to share this with Kyle.
Kyle Kinane.
So yeah. Kyle, thanks for your work. This has been a lot of fun, and we can't do comedy particularly often because I think.
It's not the format.
It does. It's not. It's not
but
always
it's
what we
that
do.
We all
it's
genuinely
interesting.
Love.
It is interesting.
I love
to
mixing
do every
it up
so
though.
Often. Yeah, I mean, like earlier, like you, like we've talked to Chris Cox about watching a record and then a music record or a music film is what I meant, and then come back and talking about that. And prior to tonight, I was pretty sure that was going to be breaking.
I'm pretty sure I dropped acid once and watched a record.
just like sat there. Yeah.
But we're now going to all watch Kiss meets the Phantom of the Park, which is.
I think I did see that when I was like 7.
No, that was about the time it came out. It's not only the greatest thing that I've ever. It's one of the greatest things television has ever produced, but it's also the only good thing that Kiss has ever done. Oh, and somebody shoots laser beams out of their eyes at some point.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Yeah.
It's a Wednesday.
All right, so we'll see you guys soon. For now, we're going to sign off. I'm Shane.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Mark.
Somebody Likes It.